But I find most pastors don't ever talk about them because they're odd. That's the best way to describe them. They're odd. First of all, what does it mean to be some of these phrases? Like, what does it mean to be meek? And who do you use as an illustration? Yourself? So you understand, some of them are very hard to get at. This morning, I'm going to speak on the most difficult one of all. I really should have started in Sunday school with a whole series, just 1 week or 2 weeks, just on this, how people approach the Sermon on the Mount. The verse we're going to focus on this morning, normally this is what happens. In churches, it's either not mentioned or it's for the seriously spiritual. You know, there's like two groups, the group that sleeps and the group that's spiritual. Or if you're a Catholic, and it's not negative, just factual, for the holy people, like you live in monasteries, but for the normal people, this doesn't apply. I think I'm going to try to correct that assumption this morning if I can. Let's all stand, please. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So primarily, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes are primarily for Christians, believers. We all agree with that. That's who he's speaking to. So he's then going to pronounce, he's going to say that certain types of people are blessed, which I've been dealing with now for 3 weeks. And as I started 3 weeks ago, these passages just kind of third person describe a blessed person. They don't really tell you how to get blessed. They describe a blessed person. So my first Sunday morning sermon is this. I'm going to repeat the ideas till at least those who have ears to hear what Christianity is get it. We are blessed. We are blessed by God. We are blessed because of Christ and Him alone. And yes, we are also blessed in and by the doing of these Beatitudes. But if you want to know, we're going to read. The one we're going to read this morning, if I just read this without any biblical context, I would quit Christianity. Because when I look in the mirror, this does not describe the guy I see. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Last week I spoke on this passage. I think I called it the unbroken circle. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This morning we're going to look at this. Blessed are the pure where? Now, friend, maybe you're different than me. Do you believe you're pure in your heart? You know, where nobody sees, including you? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Every beatitude is a third person. He, she, they. Now he applies the verse 10, the eighth beatitude, to the disciples. He goes to second person plural. Blessed are ye, you know, who I'm talking to. Because he assumes these men and women will be persecuted. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm going to look at verse 8 this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometime in Sunday school, I will talk about how we approach this chapter. But friend, if I have just that verse, I would quit now. You cannot be an honest person and look at yourself honestly and believe that at the core of your being, you are pure. So who in the world is this talking about? I'm going to try to explain that this morning, the pure in heart. Father, thank you for this time. Speak to us. Help us to understand what Jesus is getting at. And of course, we might have to read more than one verse to understand that. We might have to get the context of the gospel and what he came to do. Help us and help me as I express these truths, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I prefer to blame things on other people. Because, you know, God knows I'm never at fault in anything. So this morning, I'm going to tell a story and I'm going to blame it all on Rolando. He doesn't know that I'm going to blame it on him, but I'm going to. For the last many months, Rolando has been trying to convince me of a basic premise. Everything is better as a taco. He does live this way, does he not? I mean, if there is a tortilla anywhere close, he's putting something in that tortilla. He's pretty much convinced me that everything is better in a tortilla as a taco. So this week, Thursday, Pastor Cork and I think it was Thursday, went out to eat. We do it once a week or so we have time to talk without too many interruptions. So we're out eating, and we go to a Honduran restaurant that we've been to a couple, three or four or five or six or seven or eight times. And they offer at the end, you know, when we ordered carne asada, which is the way they do it in Honduras. And at the end, you can either get banana chips or you can get tortillas. Everything is better as a taco. So I thought, well, I'll get the tortillas. And I've had both. So I got the tortillas and we sat down and I started making myself a tortilla. I peeled off the first tortilla. And I looked at it, and I knew it was defective. But I thought it was like folded over on itself a little bit, so I didn't pay any attention. I took some of that meat, the carne asada, put it on there. I took some frijoles, the beans, and put it on there. I took some arroz, the rice, and put it on there. I put some, is it rempollo, cabbage? Put some shredded cabbage on there. Put some hot sauce on there. Put some cheese. Boy, I made this thing. It was good. I wrapped it up. I'm not as good as you, but I got it all in that taco. Put that in my mouth and life was good. The second bite I took out of it, I had to pull it a little bit to get it bit off, and that defective taco disintegrated all over my white shirt. So folks, I like carne asada on the inside. I like refried beans on the inside. I like that shredded cabbage on the inside. I really liked, and by the way, this is a Belizean problem. They have Belizean hot sauce from the stuff where, what is that called? Marie Sharp? I had Marie Sharp on there. Isn't that what it's called? And I'm wearing it. And you know what Pastor Kowak did? He laughed. He thought it was funny. I'm not eating with him anymore. Now, folks, I tried to clean it up, but how do you clean? I mean, and it wasn't a drop. I mean, it's all down the front of my shirt and, like, the whole mess. I cleaned the mess up. That's not a problem because I'm going home after that. I thought, well, my wife, she'll clean it up. But I have to go pay for it. And some of us, not you, of course. Now, in this coat, I can wrap myself up. But in most coats, there's something that protrudes. And my coat I was wearing protruded, and I couldn't hide the white shirt in the big stomach. It was a little bit embarrassing. The girl acted like she didn't see a thing. She took my money just fine. Now, why do I tell you that story? Would you read the verse with me again? Would you? Blessed are the what? For they shall see God. Friend, I'm going to begin here. We got a problem. We are not pure. And the word for pure is also the word for clean, cleansed. We must start there. We are not clean. Now, when you walk up to the counter and you got to pay your bill and you're hoping the girl's looking up here and not looking all over your white shirt, you know that it doesn't look good. But spiritually speaking, we are not pure. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure. And then it even says, pure in heart. This should come as no surprise to a believer. Scripture clearly teaches that none of us are pure or clean. Friend, the place Christianity starts is that you and I, this is where it starts. It doesn't start coming to church. It starts when you come to Christ. It begins with recognizing before God, I am not a clean person. Especially my heart isn't clean. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, you know, that's the center of you, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I mean, I'm born this way. I'm born a sinner. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man or woman upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Hold your hand here and look and turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Let's use the same word. The word for clean or pure is, we use it in English. Cathartic, catharsis, comes from the Greek words. Karthizo, and it just means to clean or cleanse. You have the almost exact word in Ephesians 4. Paul describing an unbeliever. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their very center, their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that is wicked behavior, here it is, to work all uncleanness, that is the opposite, clean, unclean, with greediness. My friend, we have a problem. Look at me. Blessed are the pure in heart, but none of us pure. Look at me. Do you really want to stand before God claiming your purity? Here's the thing. I learned this years ago. Every person in this room, let's say it again, every person in this room, who's that everyone include? We have the best impression of ourselves. Is that reality? Here's the problem. God knows you as you are. And he also has a long memory. He remembers. If we stand before God, we are not pure. So how does this help us? My actions are oftentimes or possibly wrong. My words can be very hurtful and hateful. My motives. Have you ever done something intentionally to harm somebody from your heart? I'm asking you a question. Have you ever intentionally tried to hurt someone? Well, unless you have forgotten, the answer would be yes. Have you ever heard of someone's, oh, he or she is pure as the driven snow? And I would say yes. I'm a country boy, yellow snow. No, we got three people that got that. The animals have been out in the snow, not exactly pure. Friend, at the end of this service, I already know what's going to happen. Some people will be out the door before I can blink. Most of you will hang around, talk, and I'll see little gatherings of people. I'll already know where the gatherings are. if Anna Grace is here, there's going to be a gathering around her. If your son is here, not around the old man, but around the little guy, there's going to be a gathering around him. Yes or no? You know, part of that is, kids are cute, right? You know what part of it is? Please look at me. Do you know what part of it is? There's an innocence about children that older kids don't have anymore. And when you get older and cynical, you don't think anybody's innocent, and you would be correct. You would be correct about everything except that little child's not innocent either. Wait till, by the way, I love our children. Nene, I have no ability to babysit. Nene would have to babysit me. But I'm going to say this. She's pretty close to perfect, I think. But then, Michelle has a daughter. Her name is Mia. Some days I look at her, and I'll say, Mia, wink at me. She'll go. She can do both eyes. Other days, she'll look at me, and she'll go. And by the way, my grandson, Jesse, he is innocent, yes? I'm praying that he skips the two-year-olds and the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds. And I'm definitely praying he skips teenagers. I want him to go from somewhere around first grade right to an adult. Because I never want to see him lying to his parents like, my friend, can I say this to you? When you read this passage, blessed are the pure in heart, we have a problem. We are not pure. We're not clean. And anyone who reads that, you think, well, that must be for somebody else because that's not for me. I'm not that person. I don't have any hope being that person. We are not pure. And I would say, secondly, not only we are not pure or clean, we cannot make ourselves pure or clean. So when it says the pure in heart, it's like, well, how do I get that? Because I can't clean myself up enough to do so. Isaiah has a description of fallen human nature. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness or healthiness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. My friend, the Bible describes us as people who are not pure in heart, and we cannot make ourselves pure or clean. We cannot effect that. Friday night, Thursday night, Saturday, who knows? I got a package in the mail from Dietmar Wagenknecht. He sends me a package every once in a while. He knows I like archaeology and history, and he's got a couple of magazines. He sent me a great article on the Maya in Guatemala, in the Petén. He sent me another article on the Inca. And I'm reading the articles, and I thought, well, after I read them, I probably should call Dietmar and do what? So I called him and said, hey, Dietmar, I appreciate the articles. Thank you. I love Dietmar. So I'm talking to Dietmar, and I didn't know this. After we talked for a minute, I thought, you know, I probably should do the, you know, the normal thing to do and say, how are you and Heidi? And his comment, well, Heidi, you know, she's not walking, basically. She can walk with a walker some. But Dietmar had major surgery. I didn't know it. Did you all know Dietmar Wagenknecht is very private? I said, well, how did the surgery go? And I mean, when I say major, he mentioned six or eight things, and I'm like, man, you must have had major surgery. Here is his last words to you. Are you listening to me? Here's his last words to me about his surgery. He said, but I got the results back, and there's no cancer. Why is that important, friend? Because cancer is different than normal problems. You see, we have a problem of the heart, sin. You can't just cut it off. You'd have to cut your center of your being out. Sin is like cancer. Cancer invades tissue. Look at me, friend. Look up here. Cancer invades tissue. Do you understand that? So you can't always just cut it out without cutting out the very thing that makes you live. When Dietmar said, "But thank God there's no cancer," he knows he'll be alive to take care of Heidi's for a while longer, basically. Here's our problem. The sin problem is not like taking my coat off and putting a clean coat on. When I went home, my wife always gets this beautiful thing. I handed my wife that beautiful white shirt that he got dirty, his fault. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. I handed her the shirt. What did I do? I put on a what? But the problem is, friend, the Bible says it's the very who we are. We're sinners, and you can't just take the shirt off and put a fresh one on. So how can I be pure? How does that work? So I begin this morning by saying two very simple things. We are not pure or clean, using the same two words, and we cannot make ourselves pure or clean. It's impossible. Well, how do we become pure? I'm glad you asked. We're going to look at the scripture at some verses that deal with this. Using the same words, okay? Matthew chapter 8. Look there with me, please. Matthew chapter 8. Here's how a person is cleansed or made pure. Matthew 8, please, verse 1. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he, that is Jesus, was come down from the mountain, meaning he was done with the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, meaning fell down before him, saying, "Lord," Old English, "if thou wilt," if thou will, if you're willing, "thou canst make me," what? Clean. You see, folks, only Christ can make us pure or clean. So when Jesus is describing those who are blessed are the pure, he's not thinking there's this small group that's pure and then there's the rest of humanity. No, he's thinking all of humanity is unclean, but because of what Christ did and what he can do, he can make us clean. It says in the next verse, it uses it twice. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean," or pure. And immediately his leprosy was what? Cleansed. Three times in that text. Acts 15:9. I'm using the very Greek word so you understand. I'm not making this up. It's the concept. We are not clean or pure. We cannot make ourselves clean or pure. It's not like taking off your shirt. It's not like joining a club. We have this sin thing infusing us, but only Christ can make us pure or clean. Peter is here reporting on what happened to the Gentiles. In verse 9, it says this, meaning God put no difference between us, Jewish believers, and them, Gentile believers, purifying their what? You see, friend, how you get a pure heart, how you get a cleansed heart is through Christ by simple faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, trusting him and him alone. He purifies, he cleanses, he gives you the very thing that Jesus is describing. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, that he might set apart and cleanse. You see, friend, only Christ can make us pure and clean. Friend, please look at me. We come from different places and different circumstances. When you read, "Blessed are the pure in heart," I hope you don't think you're one of those people. Because in and of yourself and in and of myself, we are not clean, we are not pure, and we cannot possibly do it. Now, you can join Lake County Baptist. We've had people join our church before. You can get a haircut. You can put on Sunday clothes. You can act like you're a Christian. There's only one problem. You've just changed the outside. Only Christ can change you from within. He purifies the heart. He changes the heart. He cleanses the heart, which then changes everything. Well, I want us to see this. This is not something found in one verse. Titus, please. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Talking about Christ. Titus chapter 2, please. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us. I think Jesus is the one that gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and redeem is another image, paying a price, buying us back. He pays a price. What is his price? His very shed blood, his life, his death, his burial. He pays the ultimate price to redeem us, to buy us back from all iniquity, and to do what? Purify. He wants to cleanse us. He wants us to give us that clean heart, a new heart. He wants us to have a new beginning. My friend, we are not pure and clean. We cannot cleanse ourselves and make ourselves pure. Only Christ can make you pure or clean. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, different times, different eras, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. My friend, please look at me. Blessed are the pure in heart. If you walk in here and you think you're... There's two immediate responses when you read a verse like this. If you come from a Roman Catholic background, you do this. You skip over to the pure in heart. You know, the nuns, the priests, the people in monasteries. Or in other cases, you dumb this down to such a degree that you lie to yourself, yeah, I'm pure in heart. No. None of us are pure or clean. We are not. And we cannot cleanse ourselves. Only Christ can cleanse us and purify us and make us pure. He does so himself. He himself does this. So let me say it this way. You're a teenager in this room. Let's not play games. You're a teenager in this room. This is not conforming to Lake County Baptist Church. Something must happen in your heart for you to become a Christian. And if you don't have something in the heart, what will eventually happen is you will go off your own path. Too many people show up here thinking, you know, I'm at church. Church doesn't change you. Christ gives you a new heart. He purifies you from within. One last reference, Hebrews 9, verse 14. For time, we cannot read all the context, but I would like to. Hebrews 9 and verse 14, the author of Hebrews says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, and blood is used the part for the whole, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his shed blood, giving his life for us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge or cleanse your conscience. You see, friends, it's only through Christ that we can be cleansed. Only through Christ. There is no other hope. But through Christ, he can purge your conscience from dead works, and then all of a sudden from within, you want to serve the living God. We are not pure or clean. We cannot cleanse and purify ourselves. Only Christ can purify us and cleanse us. We sometimes are, in the past, sing a song. Some of the song is very profound. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol. Cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be. But my friend, apart from him cleansing you, the heart is corrupt and dirty. You cannot fix it. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, it's not Rolando's fault that the taco baptized me by sprinkling. Though I want to blame you anyhow. My friend, I could take that shirt home. I took the shirt off. My wife worked her magic, and the white shirt is, it's clean, it's pure, it's white again. But there are stains you can get on your clothing that are never coming out. There is no pencil, there is no soap. In order to get the stain out, you have to destroy the shirt. Hear me. If you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ in faith, you have a stain that'll never come out. And the stain is not on your shirt. It's in your heart of hearts. And may I say this to you, friend? Only one person can cleanse that stain. He stands ready to cleanse that stain. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Friend, Christianity is not about a church, about being a Baptist. And I am a Baptist, but that's minor stuff. It's about Christ. It's about him crucified. It's the only way I can become pure, clean. Turn your Bibles to John 15, verse 3, would you please? I'm going to have you turn to a couple of other references for the fourth idea. Blessed are the pure in heart. But we are not pure or clean. When we cannot make ourselves clean or pure, only Christ can make us pure or clean. But may I say this, friend? Now, my grandson, I have four of them. I'm not going to claim the oldest one because he's a wild man. But so far, Jesse's perfect. James is perfect too. I never heard this term when I was a parent. I'm sure my children didn't have this. Have you ever heard of a blowout? I'm thinking my son, grandson Jesse, never has blowouts. What do you think? Look at me, friend. Here's the problem. Now, Christian, look at me. Less. Hypothetically speak, that everybody in this room, please look at me, every person in this room has come to Christ, trusted what he did on the cross for them alone, not the church, not baptism, not good works, not what you can do. It's all found in Christ, and he has cleansed you and made you pure. The problem is, then you got to go back outside, and I don't know about your children, but sometimes children get dirty. I was out here and came out of my office, walked up here on the balcony, and my good daughter had Jesse down here on the floor. He can't quite walk yet, but he can scoot. It's really weird to see him scoot because he's a big guy to be scooting. He's scooting, and he has his head up looking for me. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you think he gets dirty on the floor? Can I tell you something, Christian? There is one sense that you are cleansed the day you trust Christ forever. There is another sense that you need to continue to be cleansed. We're going to, same words, remember, we're dealing with the same words. John 15, verse 3. Jesus says this beautiful phrase, now ye are what? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Can I tell you what cleanses you? How do you stay clean? Do you say, Pastor, I got cleansed 48 years ago, bless God, I'm saved. Yeah, and you're a dirty mess. Because, friend, yes, you get saved once and for all and forever. I got it. And in one sense, you have it. In another sense, well, let me give you the 4 points again. We are not clean or pure. We cannot make ourselves clean or pure. Only Christ can make us clean or pure through His sacrifice, His shed blood. And number 4, Christ continues to cleanse us and purify us as we move forward. Don't ever come to me and say, well, I was saved 38 years ago, and you're a dirty mess. Because Christianity is not a one-time act. Look at me. Boy, I'm glad I got that over with. Christianity is coming to Christ, Him cleansing you, and walking and following Christ. And as you continue to walk and follow Him, through His Word, He continues to cleanse you. Well, Ephesians 5, would you look there, please, one more time? So in one sense, you and I, if you're saved, are cleansed, purified. That's a fact. In another sense, in the day-to-day, Christ continues to cleanse us and purify us. How does He do so? Through His Word. May I say this? If you're a Christian who never reads the Bible, we got a problem. Because it's through the Scripture that we get God's grace that continues to cleanse us. Ephesians 5 is going to say the same thing. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. For what purpose? That He might sanctify and what? Cleanse it. Same word. With a washing of water, using an analogy, you know, you clean your clothes in water, but it's by the Word. You see, friend, it's always connected to the Word of God. 1 John 1, please. 1 John 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. My wife, after 40 years of marriage, you know women usually figure men out? Actually, most men are pretty simple to figure out. It takes them about, a woman, if you're a lady in here, it should take you 5 minutes to understand your husband. If you're still trying to figure your husband out 40 years later, men are really simple. Can I have an amen? Now, women, that's a different ball game. I always liked it. Have you ever seen this, the engineering guy? Here's a man, there's a toggle switch, off and on. Here's a woman, 400 knobs. Women are a little bit more difficult to figure out. Men want to eat. I can't go into what men want. It's only 3 or 4 things, ladies. If you haven't figured that out, we got a problem by now. My wife has figured me out. When I come home and I take my white shirt off, she doesn't even pray. She'll say something like, is there anything on it that I need to take off of it? And the answer is, now, by the way, I'm going to blame it on Rolando because I know it has nothing to do. Who said this? Was this your son that said this? You know, some women have a baby, and then I have a food baby. I think it was your son that said that. I know it has nothing to do with my food baby. But my wife knows when I take my white shirt off, most of the time she's going to have to do some extra work on the front. Can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus doesn't leave you alone. Yes, in one sense, you are cleansed forever. So when God the Father looks at you, he sees his Son, which is pure, and you are part of the pure in heart. In another sense, practically, we get dirty. And on a regular basis, we're in the Word, because it's through the Word of God that we find the Word of his grace that builds us up and sanctifies us. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Yeah, same word again. Purifies, cleanses, same word. Verse 9, you got same word again. If we confess, so what do you say? What are you saying, Pastor Warren? I'm saying, friend, not only are we cleansed once and for all and forever, in another way, he continues to cleanse us. Otherwise, we'd still get dirtied up down here in this world. It's through his word. It's through walking with him. It's through the shed blood of Christ. And good old confession, if we confess our sins. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you confessed any sins recently? Here's how you know. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Sin always reveals itself by what you're nervous about and you're hoping nobody ever finds out about. God already knows. There ought not to be that run. How did you find that out? What are you worried about me for? God already knows. If we confess, can I ask you a question? Have you been to that fountain recently? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from what? Yes. Wow. Yes. My wife is an expert on getting stains out. She's learned some from Pam, but she's also learned that I can get stains that even Pam Hall can't get out. Then it's called new shirt. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3, please. I'm done now with the sermon. I'm going to give you the fifth idea. What does Matthew 5, verse 8 say? Look up here. Matthew 5, verse 8 does not tell you how to be blessed. This is not something you earn. He is third person, kind of off to the side. Blessed are the pure in heart. Are we pure in and of ourselves? The answer is no. Can we make ourselves pure? The answer is no. Only Christ can make us pure and clean through his shed blood, through his death, by coming to Christ. And then beautifully, Christ continues to cleanse us and purify us. How? By his blood, by his word, by confession. By the way, I better clarify, confession to God. Not anything else. You know, you don't earn your way. It's just simply acknowledging, yep, I'm still dirty and I need you to cleanse me. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The fifth concept, friend, is this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We conclude with this. Through Christ cleansing and purifying, both the initial cleansing and purifying and the ongoing cleansing and purifying, through Christ cleansing and purifying alone, we shall see God. Not because we in ourselves are pure, but because of Christ we are pure, and because of Christ we are continually being cleansed, we shall see God. 1 John 3, 1, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, and this is beautiful, now, right now, we're not waiting, we already are the sons or the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. My friend, because of Christ and through his initial cleansing and purifying at salvation, in his continual cleansing and purifying throughout life, we shall see God. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Verse 3. We are not clean or pure. We cannot make ourselves clean or pure. Only Christ can make us clean or pure. And then Christ continues to make us clean and pure. And through Christ, cleansing and purifying alone, we shall see God. Chapter 22, verse 3. This has not yet happened for sure. Though I long for this day. By the way, could you look at me for one moment? Don't you long for the day when you wouldn't have to make a phone call and find out somebody has cancer? Or somebody in your family has died? My friend, that day is coming. You say, how far away is it? Well, it's at least 1,007 years away. There's a 7-year tribulation and a 1,000-year millennium, but at the end of that millennium, we're going to end up right here. And there shall be no more, what? Curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. I would say this, friend, please look at me. My heart's desire for you is for you to see God. Not in judgment, but in mercy and grace. Blessed are the pure in heart, which is none of us in and of ourselves. You can't cleanse yourself enough. In the laboratory where I used to work, there were certain stains. It was a joke. You get them on your hands, and I remember the first day in class, and the guy said, if you get this on your hands, there's only one thing that will take it off. And you're thinking, oh, Brillo pad, you know, Ajax, what? He said, the tincture of time. Your skin had to grow it off. Here's the problem. Sin is deeper than that. Christ and Christ alone can purify you. And Christian, here's the good news. You don't have to play the guilt games, trying to hide everything. Because once you realize he continues to cleanse you and purify you. How? Through his word, by his blood, in our time alone with him, acknowledging, confessing, which simply means to say the same things about sin, he continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then you will know, because of Christ, I am part of blessed are the pure in heart, because of Christ, and I and we shall see God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. This is our only hope.